Good morning. Good morning. And happy Resurrection Day to everybody. What an awesome morning we've had already. Wow. And you guys look good. You know, we dress up for weddings, funerals, graduations, and resurrections. Right? That's a good thing. Absolutely. Thank you, Lord, for coming back to life. And really good to have you here. If I've not met you before, my name's Matt. And boy, we're just so thankful for this whole worship team, for Seth. That was just incredible. We could have just kept doing that all day. We do that sometimes, actually. But hey, I want to jump in and just talk about a few things here this morning. There's a lot to talk about. There's actually too much to discuss. But I want to just really bring some highlights and hopefully it will be encouragement for you today and what the Lord has done for us. Boy, there's so much beyond information or tradition that this day is about. You know, we can go through traditional stuff, we can just know stuff, but the reality of this resurrection, the reality of what God has done for us is so crucial. It's so important for us to see it from our heart, from our heart's eye, to grasp what has been done for us. And when that happens, it's life-changing for us because this is not, again, about just a tradition. This is about our lives being changed, about what God has done and receiving what he's done. It's so important. You know, from the beginning, David mentioned it a little bit during worship, but during the beginning, as you know, a little bit of your history and my history together, we were formed from dirt, right? And during that time, the Father gave man opportunity to have dominion over all of the world. Not just all of the world, but over the powers that were in the world. Do you realize that in the beginning, Satan had already fallen to the earth by the time man was made, right? He had messed up, got kicked out of heaven, and he was imprisoned on the earth in the form of a snake. And it was mankind's job to keep the prisoner in check, under their feet, right? But mankind started listening to the snake, started paying attention to his words, those thoughts that come into our heads are some of those things, right? He speaks these lies, are you sure God really has the best in his heart for you? And start entertaining those thoughts, which caused sin and rebellion to emerge in the hearts of mankind, to stray away from what God had for us, to separate us from the presence of God, from that daily walking with him, not as a consequence that was punitive, but because of what man decided to do. We choose the enemy over you, God, which started a curse that started to move down through the generations, year after year, decade after decade, generation after generation. All kind of results of the curse, sin, death. We were created to live forever and now death is in the picture. Death wasn't supposed to be in the picture in the beginning. But when mankind listened to the enemy, obeyed him, he rose from a snake, a serpent under our feet, to the prince of the power of the air. And it was just a mess with the enemy ruling over the earth. The enemy inciting people to murder one another, to rape people, to kill, steal, destroy. That's what he was doing and has been doing for all these years since then. But thankfully, as you know, God in his amazing love and mercy came up with a plan. And that plan was at a huge cost to himself. That his very best, his only son, would be sent into the earth to pay for sin. You know, when man and woman sinned, an animal had to die. God killed the first animal that he created because of the sin of Adam and Eve. Killed the animal, used the skins to cover their nakedness. There was blood on them for the first time, and it just covered sin. It did not remove it, it covered it. And then God has this plan to not just cover sin for all of mankind, to redeem what man has lost, to give back to them what they'd given away, but to remove sin and to cause this relationship to come back with the Father, where we could walk with him and talk with him, every single person, not just prophets, not just a few righteous people, but anyone could walk and talk and listen and have this relationship with the Father. God had a plan, and it came through Jesus coming to the earth, which is, seems like maybe an odd plan to us, but it was the perfect, most beautiful, most loving plan that's ever been conceived. And Jesus came, as you know, lived here. He came at a time thousands of years after the enemy had just had a field day with mankind. And finally, Jesus has entered into the picture. And before Jesus came, there was symbols and signs and shadows and prophecies of a new day, of something that would happen, that would change, where things would not be the way that they were, of all this constant murder and all this constant sin, and I can't get away from it. And it has a hold on me. There were these prophecies, and one of them was what we call the Passover, when Israel, who had been enslaved in Egypt for 400 years, and God makes a way for them to get out of there. And the last thing that he does for them before they escape slavery was there to take a little lamb, an innocent lamb, a lamb that had done no wrong, to slit its throat, to use its blood, to put over the doorpost, and then to eat it, to cook it and to eat it. And by receiving that lamb and by using its blood, they were protected from death. That was a shadow. It was a prophecy. It helped those people right there. But it was a shadow and a prophecy of another lamb. 1,400 years after that event, the Jewish people celebrated that Passover victory every single year. Every single year, they're gathering lambs, they're killing the lamb, and they're celebrating the victory they had 1,400 years earlier. And then Jesus comes on the scene. He has a Passover meal with his disciples, and he introduces something completely unknown and foreign to them. He had been called the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world by John the Baptist. And here he was with his 12, closed up in a room. And Jesus says, I've been waiting to have this meal with you. And then he introduces something that's mind-blowing. He says, this drink isn't just drink. This is the blood, basically, that I'm going to shed for you. This bread isn't just bread. This represents my body that's about to be broken for you. And there is a new covenant that's starting tonight. When I start bleeding, a new covenant is made with mankind, where the devil that's had his way all these years is going to change. You're going to now have relationship with your Father like you haven't had for 4,000 years. You can enter right into the Holy of Holies with the Father. He shares with them a little about the new covenant. And then, as you know, he goes through the crucifixion process. He's betrayed by one of those in the room with him. He's captured. He's beaten. If you watch the movie, The Passion of the Christ, it's hard to watch. And it probably isn't as bad as it really was. But it brings home the reality of how severely Jesus was tortured, how excruciating that must have been. The blood, the pain, the betrayal, the crown of thorns jabbed into his head, the whips across his back, his beard pulled out, having to try and carry this cross up to the top of the hill. The people who were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, a few days before, are now saying, crucify him. All of those things going into this. And Jesus, he dies. He hangs there for 6 hours on the cross. 6 hours of bleeding, 6 hours of labored breaths to stay alive. And I have to believe when I saw that each hour could represent a 1,000-year period of mankind on the planet, paying the price, paying for the sin of all of mankind, all the way back to Adam and all the way forward to all who would live beyond him, you and I. One moment, this hinge pin of all history, paying for sin, rolling back the sin of Adam all the way back and freeing those who would believe in him to have a completely different life. After 6 hours on the cross, it's interesting how the Lord does these things in full circles. When Jesus was born, there was his mother, Mary, and there was Joseph, his stepdad, there. When he dies, it's another Joseph who takes him down from the cross, washes his body quickly, puts a linen cloth on it, and there's Mary Magdalene walking with him, Joseph and Mary, carrying him to a tomb. They put him in a tomb. His disciples had fled out of fear. The people who loved him, most of them were standing at a distance watching this. And there was great sorrow. 3 days of death, 3 days of darkness, 3 days of mourning of their hero having died, the one who could raise others to life, and now he was in the grave. The one who said all these amazing things and released healing for so many, and here he was wounded, beaten to death, cruelly treated, a spear in his side, and now he's in a tomb. The followers of Jesus, sad. His disciples, heartbroken and fearful and feeling shame, I'm sure, as well, for not being there with him, having run away when he needed them the most. Peter especially, having denied him 3 times and then getting a glance from Jesus when the cock crows after he denies him on the 3rd time. All of these things are going on, and it's as if some of the words that he had spoken didn't have power anymore to them. Because you remember some of the things he said, like, the Son of Man's gonna be crucified, but he's gonna rise again. But those were not thoughts in their minds. They were thinking about, and you and I would be thinking about, how sad this is, how horrible this was, how we've been following for 3.5 years, and for the disciples, they'd given up everything. They'd left homes, they left businesses, they left their jobs. They walked away from everything to follow him. They'd seen amazing things, but now it's like, it's all shot. Everything feels dark and fearful. The disciples were locked up in a room, afraid. They're, if it were me, and I'm sure it was them, they're thinking, am I next? These guys, the Jewish leaders and the Roman Empire here, they're not playing games here. If we're following him, maybe we're the ones, maybe it's our door that gets knocked on next, and they're gonna come take us away and do the same things to us. They could have been thinking those thoughts. I'm certain that they were. But if let's read here Luke 24, a few verses. We'll start with verse 1. As Jesus has been in the tomb 3 days, at least portions of 3 days, and at the end of that, on the morning before light, on the 3rd day, the love of the Father comes flying after his son. And just as he raised Adam from dirt, he raises his son, Jesus, from death in a tomb. The stone is rolled away. There's angels there, and there's brand new life. Let's start with verse 1 here. It says, but on the 1st day of the week, at early dawn, they, which were several women, a couple of Marys, Joanna, Simone, some other women, came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, 2 men suddenly stood near them in dazzling clothing. And as the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, why do you seek the living one among the dead? Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He's not here, but he has risen. Amen. He's alive. He's not dead anymore. Hallelujah. You're sad, but it's a different day. Remember how he spoke to you while he was still in Galilee. He's reminding them. Don't you remember what he said? That he would be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words. It's like, oh my goodness, he did say that. And they returned from the tomb and reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Everyone they could find right there. They're telling them. Now they were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, also the other women with them were telling these things to the apostles. Verse 11, but these words appeared to them as nonsense and they would not believe them. But Peter got up, even though this is a little bit of nonsense, he still said, I gotta see for myself. He got up and he ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, the stone was rolled away. He saw the linen wrappings only. And he went away to his home, marveling at what had happened. God's redemption plan had succeeded. So around AD 30, around this year, we think it's either 30 or 31, somewhere in there, some women come rushing into this room where the men are hiding. And they are saying crazy things. We just saw Jesus. Oh, no, they did see him too, a little bit later. We saw angels. We saw a tomb rolled away, the stone of the tomb. The tomb is empty. Angels spoke to us. They reminded us of what Jesus said. And we're coming to tell you. And to them, it was absolute nonsense. Think about that for a moment. Those who've been following Jesus around and hearing him, and he's already told them this is going to happen, they had completely, because of a circumstance, which they saw, because of a death of their leader, their hope was wiped out. Their vision for the future, completely gone. They didn't believe that Jesus had risen. And these guys were no joke. These guys had left a lot. These guys were tough. These guys believed. They followed. They lived out on a limb. But nonsense is what this sounded like to them. It's so interesting to me that Jesus knows what is needed at every time. Every day of our lives, every single moment, he knows what's needed when we don't. He knew what was needed. The Father knew what mankind needed. He knew that there was only one way to fix this mess, and it's sending the Son. Now that sounds like nonsense to me. That may sound like nonsense to us, to mankind, that the only way is to send the Son of God from heaven to come here as a baby, to grow up as a man, and to die the death of a criminal. That sounds like absolute nonsense. It sounds like foolishness, which is indeed what the scripture says, say that it's the foolishness of God for those who believe. To the world, it's foolishness. To those who are perishing, but to those who believe, it's the power of God. There are a lot of things that don't make sense that God does, that he chooses to do, that he has planned to do, and that he did right here. It doesn't make sense to us that there is truth. There is absolute truth. In our world today, there's subjective truth. Your truth versus your truth and your truth, all of your truths are okay. But that is not how God does things. Jesus said, I am the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. He is truth. He is the way. He's the only way. There aren't 1,000 different ways. There's one. Now, God set it up that way. May not make sense to me, but it is true. And there's no sugarcoating in the Bible. One of the things I love about the scriptures, they're living, they're alive, You read this and your spirit comes alive. But there's something else that I just love about this book, and it's this. It doesn't sugarcoat anything. It doesn't tell just a pretty story. It shares the weaknesses, the failings, the struggle, the suffering, the difficulties of every person. There's another reason why it's true. I mean, if you're going to make up a story and make up a religion and try and get people to follow it, even though it weren't true, you would paint a pretty story, and you wouldn't have his followers betraying him, denying him, running away at the last moment, right? You'd make it much prettier than that. But as these guys really lived and really were people, and they were really trying to follow him, and they made a lot of messes. And Jesus loves them anyway and doesn't separate the purpose that he has for them because of their mistakes. He redeems. Jesus is the redeemer. He's the one who ransomed us. We are celebrating this day, something that took place 2,000 years ago. And you realize it's not just something that's written in here. There are 16 extra biblical historians, writers, who talked about Jesus being alive and Jesus dying on a cross. There are over 500 people that saw Jesus after he resurrected. Over 500. That changes everything. The resurrection changes everything. What's so important about it? Well, here's what Paul says, if there's no resurrection, 1 Corinthians 15, if there's no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is in vain. Your faith also is in vain. The resurrection is pivotal. In verse 21, it says, for since by a man came death, by a man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. All of us. Here's what the resurrection means. It means that what Jesus said is true. All of his words, not just some. He said he would die. You know what else he said? We were just singing about it. He's coming back.
Amen.
His resurrection is truth and proof that what he said is true and that he is the truth, and all that's yet to happen will. It really will happen. The resurrection means there's supernatural involvement. This is not just a good story. This is not just a good man. There are a lot of good men and a lot of good women who've died, and you and I know some of them. We have a lot of them written down in history that we didn't get a chance to know. But all of them are still in a grave. All of them are in a casket somewhere or in a tomb, except for Jesus. He is alive. His skin is still on. He's seated with a supernatural body, but he's seated at the right hand of the Father with all authority in heaven and earth.
Amen.
He's fully alive. His resurrection means that there's hope today, that we can live differently than we've ever lived before. There's hope that we don't have to be bound to sin and addiction and pornography and whatever else because of what Jesus did. When he rose to life, he had paid for all sin. And he gave us hope that we can live the way that he lived. He imparted to us his ability to live.
Amen. Yes.
For everyone who believes, we have been imparted with his very life on the inside of us. Romans 8:11 says that. If the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, he gives life to your mortal body to live a brand new way. The resurrection means there is victorious living for each one of us. Not just mental information, not just information about a God that might exist, who's invisible, who did some great things a long time ago. The resurrection means it's a present hope right now for you and I to live every single day and eternally. We have eternity ahead of us. It's a win-win on every side because of the resurrection. It also means that love is much stronger than death. Christianity is not a lot of talk. It is the power of God. It's the power of God to live a new way. It's the power of God to salvation. It's the power of God inside of us to live eternally. Thank you, Lord. And for us, for you and I today, we can receive what he has done. We can believe in him, yes, but just like his disciples at that moment, just like the followers of him at that moment, they weren't receiving, they weren't believing something, they weren't laying hold of something. They were thinking it was nonsense because it didn't make sense. They were not filled with joy on the greatest day of all of history. Think about that. Those who were closest to him were the saddest on the greatest day in all of history. We can be close to God and still feel sadness and be disillusioned or disappointed or depressed because we're not seeing things for how they really are. Here's the reality. When Jesus was walking on the road to Emmaus with those two guys, we don't even have their names, he shares the whole story. I shared 5 minutes of one. He shares the whole story on a 7-mile walk with these guys of history, of the plan of God, of himself. And it says that they stood there and they looked sad. And they said, don't you understand? He died. And here is the resurrected Jesus talking to them. And he tells them about the plan of God. And then he disappears in front of their eyes and they finally get it. They get it. He's alive. It's not a sad story. It is a story that had the plan of God. It was the only way of God, and it may seem like nonsense, but it's beautiful. It's hope for you and I right now. It's hope for every single person. If you've never given your life to Jesus, he is worth it. Amen. He gave all that he had for you and I. Not to live in a compartment of our week. Not to just be a portion of our thinking. Or a day in the year. Jesus gave his life so that we would give ours to him, that he would fill us, free us, remove our sin, fill us with joy and peace and hope so we could have a victorious life, fully alive, following him, living eternity, worshiping him, enjoying life, and fulfilling the purpose that he has for us here. The mission, the calling, his intention and purpose for each one of us. He has that for you. Man, God doesn't do anything through pressure, but he really loves to invite. Right. If there's anybody in here, maybe a friend brought you, maybe this is the day that you came out of the year, decided to check this out, we're really glad you're here. There's also an invitation that's standing. A standing invitation that Jesus says, what I did was not just for mankind, it was for you personally. Amen. It was for you personally to give your life to him so that he could make it something you can't. So that he can do with it things beyond what you can think or imagine. He is love. He doesn't have some. He has power. He is power. He is truth. He is life. There's no life apart from him. It may feel like we're in control and we're doing everything and I got my career path and plan and I'm gonna go here and I'm gonna go there and I'm gonna buy this and I'm gonna do that and I'm gonna marry this person or not marry or whatever. But ultimately, that is a dead end without Jesus. That's right. There is no, when we may think we have the power over our own life, the power that we really have is to surrender our life to him, and he empowers our life. And he's so patient with every single person. He's so patient. My grandfather, my 4 grandparents, my grandfather who didn't know Jesus was the last to die. And I remember that struggling with that. My grandparents who knew Jesus died in their 70s. My grandfather who didn't know Jesus was in his 80s. And then the Lord whispered into my heart how he desires for all men to come to repentance, and that he's patient toward us, giving us time to repent. The patience of God will let someone who's wicked live longer so they have a chance.
Amen.
to receive him, to believe in him, to give their life away, to surrender to him so he can make something brand new of them. We have no idea how many days we have in here. None of us in here know. Do we get just today? Do we get another year, 10 years, 20 years, 30? We have no idea. But what we do know is that Jesus stands at the door and he knocks. And he says, would you let me in? Look at my hands. Look what I've done for you. I will do something amazing with you. Yeah, it's going to be difficult. It's going to be really hard. But I will be with you. I'll never leave you or forsake you. I'll be with you every single day. You'll never be alone for the rest of your life. And I've got a plan for you. Everyone needs purpose. If that's you today, I just encourage you to say yes to him. To say yes to him. In fact, if that's you, why don't you come up front right now? We got some people who would love to pray with you, for you. And if everybody in here already knows Jesus, let's just surrender to him all over again. Anybody in here you'd like to receive him? I know it can be embarrassing standing up in front of people that you don't know, and maybe some that you do. It is worth it.
Yes, it is.
It is worth it.
It is.
It is worth it to stand.
Yes.
And to say, I need something I don't have. I'm gonna get rid of what I do have. Sin, shame, condemnation, feelings of guilt. I can get rid of that and I can receive something I have never had before. If it's anybody in here, please come on up. And we want to love you, pray with you. And we're gonna have some people standing up here in a moment too who would do the same with you too. And you can wait till you get home also. You can be in your car, in your house. And just open up, say, I recognize that you, this makes no sense to me, but you've done something for me way beyond what I understand. I believe that you're real. I believe that your love is real, and I receive you into my heart, and I give you my life. It really is worth it. I was in communication with some of my friends this morning who live in Sri Lanka. I used to live in Sri Lanka. I lived there 2 years. If you saw the news, there were 6 bombs that went off at churches today, killed over 200 people. All of my friends are safe, but they're having a service like we're having right now, and the police stormed in the door and said evacuate immediately because they didn't know if their church was next. Living as a believer can be dangerous, but it's filled with joy and hope and peace and life for every person in this country or any other nation. Hey, we're gonna, if I could have the people who are getting baptized, go ahead and line up against that wall over there. And we're gonna start doing this. Seth and Don are gonna baptize. Let me just share a couple things. You know, Jesus gave us communion. We do communion often around here, at least monthly, where Jesus says, as we just talked about, here's this drink, this represents my blood and the new covenant. Here's my body, this bread represents my body broken for you. He gave us something else called baptism. The wine and the bread, speaking of his sacrifice, the crucifixion, what he gave for us. And then he said, here's something else that we get to do, and it's baptism. Jesus himself got baptized. Baptism speaks of this resurrection that we celebrate. You know, for the first 3 centuries in the world, the new believers, the Christians who were carrying on this torch of life, they would baptize on Easter Sunday, just like today. Because to them, this is part of the resurrection. Jesus rose from the dead. Baptism is a part of that. Let's read this. Romans 6, verse 3 says, therefore we have been buried with him through baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we too might walk in newness of life. As Christ was raised from the dead, through the glory of the Father, we too would walk in newness of life. For if we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, speaking of going under the water, we don't have to get crucified ourselves. Thank you, God, right? But we can go underneath the water with our heart thinking about what he went through, and it's as if we are dying a death with him. If we have become united with him in the likeness of his death, the likeness of it, certainly I love that. That's a good one to underline. Certainly, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Amen. We get to live like he does now. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with him in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so that we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. When you get baptized, when you go underneath the water, by faith, this is symbolic of you dying with Jesus, and the power of sin is broken off of your life. When you come out of the water, it's as if you are rising back to life out of a tomb like Jesus did. And you now are walking a brand new life, living a brand new life with the Holy Spirit empowering us to live a new way, to live a freed way. And then the scripture we read earlier, Romans 8:11. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, if he does, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal body. That's healing, that's power over sin, that's power over darkness, that's power over fear, that's power over disease. He gives his life to our mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. No more separation with the Father, from the Father. We get to live brand new. All right, here we go. And feel free, if you want to get a little closer to see or you want to stand, you can come closer. This is Seth.
This is Dawn. All right, who's the brave first one? Come on, great. Come on up here. Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, we started up a little bit. And if you don't mind just telling us your name.
Jennifer.
Jennifer, awesome. And maybe just a little bit of why you're getting baptized today. What's going on?
I was baptized when I was very young. And through life, and all of my mistakes, as we've heard today, God has surrounded me and stayed with me. And so today I'm going first, but my daughter will be second. So we're doing it together. And just almost a feeling of freeing.
Yes, yes, come on. Amen. Praise the Lord. Guys, let's bless Jennifer. Stretch out your hand here and let's just bless her. Lord, thank you for Jennifer. Man, thank you for, yes, years that you have held her and she has held to you, that she has kept the faith. Lord, I just pray for a washing of every bit of comparison in Jesus' name off of her. Every bit of shame, everything left behind in Jesus' name. Thank you, God. Jennifer, we baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's refreshing. All right, come on. Great.
We thank you for her life. We thank you that you are washing her. We thank you as she goes under the water and comes back up, that she is being raised with Jesus to abide in him and him in her. So we baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Right. Next we got Warren and her dad, John. Oh yeah, man. Hop on in here. Mm-hmm. Man, and I'll tell you guys, for quite a few years, I got to be the youth pastor here, and I am so proud of this girl. And it hasn't been, you've been, just started walking with the Lord somewhat recently, really, right? Experiencing it, all that stuff. Tell us a little bit of why you're getting baptized today.
I'm getting baptized because of what God did for me on the cross, and I want to move forward with my faith and with God, and he's helped me through a lot of stuff throughout my life, like anxiety and depression. I want to just move forward with it and be with God.
Yes, yes, yes. And I was just feeling, you guys stretch out. Let's bless this man, this teenager. Come on, let's get her. Man, yes. I was just feeling that the church had something just to give Lauren today. Come on. Yes. Man. Yes. God, come after the next generation. May Lauren carry the torch. Yes. May Lauren carry the torch in Jesus' name. Put a fire today. Yes. In Jesus' name. Yes. That, come on, you can kneel.
We baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost.
All right. Lily Rose. Man, have you ever heard a more prophetic name than that? Lily, the beautiful Lily. Flower, flower. You said what? Oh, I knew that. That's why I was talking. Flower, flower. And man, Lily, this year I have absolutely so much. I've already told you this, but I have so much seen you bloom. And now I see you rosing or rising, you know? So, come on. Yeah. Church, let's bless her. God, give Lily Rose absolute new strength in Jesus' name. Yes. Man, take her to a new level that she would continue to blossom in the Holy Spirit to grow. Lily Rose, you are beautiful. The Lord has spoken his favor, his love. You are his cherished one. Yes, God. New heights, new understanding, new freedom, as everything is left behind. In Jesus' name, thank you, God. All right, Lily Rose, we baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Ephraim, come on. Good to see you, my man. This is another one that I got to hang out with a lot up in Kids Rock. What did he used to call me?
Rock Doc.
That's right. Rock Doc. Well, Ephraim, do you believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life?
Yes.
And that only through his death and resurrection that you can be saved?
Yes.
All right. Awesome. Well, Lord, we just bless Ephraim in Jesus' name. Man, if you don't know Ephraim, I went over to his house one time, and he's got the creative engineer mind this man has in building Legos and everything. He flipped over one truck, and he was like, the rear differential, you can unlock it if you do this. And I was like, whoa. So, man, Lord, we just bless this young man that he would accomplish everything that you have for him in Jesus' name. Thank you for this step, this public declaration that you are God and that he is yours. Lord, we bless his future in Jesus' name. Thank you, God, a man of strength, a man of valor, a man of vision, in Jesus' name. Ephraim, we baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. What's your name, a man?
Titus.
Awesome. Well, Titus, we're so glad you're doing this, my man. When you heard about this, was this something that you wanted to do? Wow. That's awesome, man. Making the decision. Well, we're going to pray for you. Titus, do you believe that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? And only through believing in him that you can get to heaven?
Yes.
Awesome. Oh, Lord, we bless Titus in Jesus' name. Wow. Man, Lord, I ask that the gospel would burn deep inside of Titus in Jesus' name. Yeah. Titus, I think the word's going to give you new strength. I see him putting a cool sword in your hand. And a big shield and a helmet, and he's given you all this armor. You're going to be a tough dude, but you're also going to be soft on the inside. You're going to be strong. Yeah, thank you, God. Lord, thank you for the eyes you've already given Titus, how he understands things and he feels things in the spirit, and we ask that to increase. Thank you, it will increase in Jesus' name. Come on. Whoa, there he goes. Titus, we baptize you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And all Titus's friends over there, that's awesome. Is there anybody else that wants to get baptized impromptu?
Yeah, you know, there's nothing in the scripture that say you cannot get baptized twice. So if you were baptized and you were maybe young or you didn't realize what was going on, you can do that again. Yeah, come on.
Can we do it? There you go. Oh, come on. Yep, that's what we were expecting. All right, sister. Oh, yeah. I knew you were going to.
I was like, well, whenever it came around to picnic time last year, the next day was my first day of school, and I couldn't go get baptized again. And God is so good, you know? Like, I was baptized in my pond on my family's farm when I was 12. And there's very few people that can say they've been baptized on the land that their father worked. And so I'm very blessed to have been that way. But in college, I lived life as a college student does, and I went away from the Lord for so long. And last year, about three years ago on Easter, I asked God back into my heart silently. And it's been ever since then a transformation. And last year, I felt like I became to know who he was, and I came into communion with who God was. And I was like, I know that I've been baptized once. I even Googled it 2 days ago. I was like, can you be baptized? You know, everything was like, well, you don't need to be. And it's like, I know I don't need to be, but I feel like just in thanks to God, just a thank you for showering me with this grace. So yeah.
Man, let's bless Callie. Man, Jesus, thank you for this woman. Thank you for this woman of God. Golly, the light that she has been to many. Yeah, so the light that she will continue to be. Wow, Holy Spirit. Bless her. Yeah. Come on. All right, Callie, we baptize you in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. All right, all right. Got some fans. What's your name, man?
Name's Jack. I know your brother, by the way, Ryan.
Oh, solid. Very good. Good guy, then. So tell us a little bit about what's going on, Jack.
So I was baptized when I was, like, really, really young, infant status. But it was, like, the past year. Before that, like, I think I've just been going through a lot of stuff with, like, OCD, bipolar, and it was really getting to places in a really dark place. And, like, this time last year, circumstances happened where I just kind of like, you know, really got in a much better place with it. And it wasn't necessarily like I'm just like, you know, cloud nine, everything's perfect, but there's just so much clarity in life and there's just so much peace, so much joy. It's not like, you know, the worldly idea of how things are just, oh yeah, it's fine, it's happy. No, it's something that I can't explain. But anyways, long story short, it's been about a year since then. I really feel called just to be baptized in response to God pulling me out of such dark places. And I always like to look at it this way. God pulling me out of my own personal Egypt. So I've been in some kind of bondage, and he literally pulled me out of that. Come on, so that's that.
Yes. Come on. Man, well, yes. Well, let's put all that to rest and get going on here. Jack, we baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Anybody else? Going once? Going twice? Three times. Hey, happy Resurrection Day to everybody. We're going to have some ministry teams up here to pray for you. If you'd like to receive Jesus, if you'd like just prayer for your body, whatever you need prayer for. We also have prophetic teams out there in the family room. They're called encouragement teams. Feel free to sign up for that. They're going to pray for you and love on you. Have a wonderful day, a wonderful week. Amen. Goodbye.